Well, it is a pleasure to be back with you again. I'm just going to move a few things off to the side here. We sang that song this morning. The second last one? What was that? What was that chorus? Where you go. Where you go, I will go. I will follow you. Boy, what a dangerous thing to sing. Where you go, I will go. 8 years ago, I was flying to Indonesia. And as you were singing that song, this isn't part of my sermon, but I was thinking of that because I've heard that song so many times. So I was flying to Indonesia, and I landed in Bali, and then I took a flight from Bali to the island of Papua. And then from the island, I took a little Cessna Caravan, so it's a little eight-seater airplane, and from there, I was flying deep into the jungle. And the reason I was going into the jungle was because we were meeting with a chief from a village, and we were asking him if he would give us land to build a Bible school in the jungle for this tribe. And my plane crashed in the jungle. And the pilot lost control of the plane. And for 30 seconds, while that plane was sort of all over this runway, it was the wings were flipping side to side, the wings were getting ripped off, and then at one moment you could see, just because of the speed of the plane, it started to flip forward, and the prop of the plane was flipping, digging into the dirt, and just centrifugal force was sending the plane tumbling. And I started thinking, because I was at the back of the plane. I was tied in so tight, but I'm telling you, that plane was shaking so bad, I was flying all over the place. And I was right beside a window. So while this was all happening, this dirt was banging into the glass, and all I could think about is, this is it. I'm going to be with the Lord, because there was a mountain on one side, and then the mountain dropped off on the other side, and then at the end of this dirt runway was trees. And so either we were going to hit the side of the mountain, fall off the mountain, or we were going to go right into the trees. Either way, it was looking that it was going to be the end. And when you think about it, you know, I was thinking about those words, where you go, I will go. I had been in and out of the jungle in Papua for 3 or 4 years. I don't know how many flights I had taken. But this particular flight, the reason we were going was to bring light into the darkness, was to be a part of the rescue mission that God has called us to. And so again, the words of that song this morning spoke so incredibly to me. And we're on this rescue mission. And I made this coffin specifically when Pastor Simon asked me if I would preach the closing message on Be Thou My Vision. I had lots of time to think, because he asked me in the summer. And I thought, wow, so what is the Lord's vision for us? And when we say that, be thou my vision. Because Christ came from this place of incredible security. He came from this incredible place where he sat on a throne. And he left there. And he came to earth to be part of this rescue mission. And he knew ultimately the cost of that rescue mission. In fact, really, when you think about it, no sooner had he arrived, right, than right off the bat, right, he arrives, his birth, the wise men come, and then the next thing we know, right, Joseph gets his vision, get out, you got to get going, because they're coming to kill him. That is, when I think of that, be thou my vision, he came because there was a rescue mission that needed to happen. And he has called us to be a part of that. So let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, boy, you are an incredible God, and you invite us into this incredible adventure with you. But it begins with, be thou my vision. Because, Lord, when your vision becomes our vision, when we become obedient to your vision, what an incredible thing it is. And Holy Spirit, we ask you, we know we can't do it on our own. The apostles couldn't do it on their own. They had to wait for an intervention for the Holy Spirit to come. So we can't do it on our own. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you here this morning. Speak to us. And let us hear. Let us not close our minds to the possibilities of what we're being called to do, how we're being called to live. Because through the power of Christ, we can do anything. We can give up anything. So be with us this morning, we pray. Amen. I think it's Psalm 96. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and declare his praises amongst all the nations, because great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. But why do we praise him? Why do we sing to the Lord a new song? And thinking about Psalm 96, and then it led me to Psalm 121. And in Psalm 121, it says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? And praise the Lord that the psalmist recognized that he needed help. Because don't we all need help? I don't care what age we are. At some point, something is happening in our lives where we need help. And so the psalmist, he lifts his eyes up to the hills. And I think it's a rhetorical question. Where does my help come from? I think he knows that his help comes from the Lord. He knew that he was in need. He knew that the challenges of life could never be solved by one man. They couldn't be solved by one person. They couldn't even be solved by being a part of a tribe. But the psalmist knew, where does my help come from? And it comes from the Lord. When all the doors are closed, when we're experiencing deep heartache, when life becomes heavy because of broken relationships, which that psalmist would have knew. He says, and my help comes from the Lord. You know, Jehoshaphat found himself in that exact same situation in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat gets this report. So his army comes and says, hey, Jehoshaphat, listen, we got a problem. We got an army coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're coming at us. There's no way. There's no place for us to escape. We're done. And they say, not only that, not only are they coming, but they're incredibly close. They're incredibly close. But the wise king, his first decision is to recognize where his help comes from. And in verse 3 of chapter 20, he says this, he went to God for help. the country of Judah united in seeking God's help. And this is really what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 121. Where does our strength and where does our courage and where does our faith come from? Where does our hope come from? And so, and this is what I love about Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord. Okay, and here's what he said, because he is the maker of heaven and earth. And he's not going to let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. And the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now the psalmist said that, and he was experiencing difficulty. But in the midst of that, he could say that. And when we talk about this Great Commission, how many people in the world can't say that? When they're desperate and they need help, they can't say, I know where my help comes from. There's just darkness and despondency. When we were here 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I just draw a blank. Who was with us? Who was speaking? Brendan, yes. Actually, no, I wasn't thinking about Brendan. There's another guy same age as Brendan, another young guy who's in Afghanistan. His name will come to me in a second. But anyways, here is the example to help you out. How many of you are in high school? Okay. How many other Christians are there in your high school? Is there more than one? Okay, good. And here's the situation in the world. How big is your high school? How many people would you say? About 1,000 or less? Okay, let's say 1,000. Think about it this way. Put 20 high schools together of 1,000. Now you got 20,000. So 20,000. And think that you're the only Christian out of 20,000. One in 20,000. Who do you worship with? How do you spread the gospel? You're one in 20,000. So think about all those people living in darkness. Think, because we're all needy. At some point in our lives, we're all needy. And so think about those other 19,999 students who are dealing with some issue in their lives, divorce, drugs, pregnancy, all those things. They have no concept of where their help comes from. And think, when there's 50, 60, 100, 200 or 300, now you have the ability to start impacting. But how difficult it is when there's only one of you. Only one of you that knows he will never let your foot slip. He watches over you. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. He gives us refuge from our enemies. He will be our protector. That's the challenge that we have overseas. I also want to, I just say that in opening as we talk about the rescue mission, but I also want to say thank you this morning. Thank you, because everything you do matters. I was with a young couple, 26, 27, and they're just getting ready to go to the mission field. And I said, in the interview, I said, okay, what's the biggest thing that's impacted your going? And they said, first it was our youth pastor, because how much he encouraged us. And they said, and then it was the missions team within our church, because they were constantly sharing God's need for the work around the world. And they said, and it's because missions was such a huge part of our local church, that's why they're going. And they came from some little tiny church. They didn't come from a church of thousands. They came from this little, small, tiny church of about 150 people. And now they're heading to Africa to reach the Fulani. And what an incredible impact that tiny little church is going to make. And so I just want to say, you matter. Your giving matters. When you pray, it matters. It matters because light is being brought into the darkness where there is almost no light. So my friend's name is Adam. That's his name, Adam. And Adam serves in Afghanistan, where there are basically, to use that example, bring 20 high schools together of 1,000, and you're lucky if you would find one Christian. So what you do matters. Oh. Can you tap on that? It should be a vid. It's a video there. I'm not sure why the video's not playing.
In my life was on my first trip to Ecuador. I was in the southern part of the country in a city called Guayaquil.
I see you got audio, but
I was in the downtown core. It was a pretty sketchy area, and I was in a two-story hotel. I remember waking up at 2 o'clock.
Can we try that again and see if we can get the? You've got the audio, but the video's not playing.